Well, welcome to our continuing series, #Jesus, the impact of Christ. This series, Pastor Jeff, has been about meeting Jesus and the impact He has on our lives when we do.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, like many of us, we get to learn about Jesus in church, in Sunday school classes. We go to youth groups, we go to Christian camps, small groups, and we...
Watching porn,
yeah, absolutely. And we get to hear about Him a lot over the years. It gives us time to think it over, gives us time to pray about it, talk about it, and to make our decision to either #accept Jesus or #reject Jesus.
Yes.
But sometimes, it just brings us to Jesus in a head-on collision with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Life brings us to a #collision.
You mean Jesus depletes us like in football?
No, not that kind of collision.
Like you're going to have with the pie this afternoon? That kind of collision?
That's going to be a collision.
That's going to be a collision?
I'm thinking like Zacchaeus, for example. You find Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. Most of us know that account. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And he slid down that tree and stripped the tree of all of its bark.
Yeah.
And that's why the sycamore tree has no bark on it today.
Right.
Now, that's not in the Bible.
I was going to say, it's not exactly theological there.
Yeah. Now, Zacchaeus was not expecting to encounter Jesus personally that day. He just went out to see who this Jesus was. But he was short, and he couldn't see over the crowd, so he climbed up a tree to get a look at this Jesus.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody was more surprised than Zacchaeus was when Jesus singled him out and said, "Hey, I'm going to your house now, today."
Yeah, I'll bet that was some surprise to him.
I can't even imagine what that was like.
But there it was. Life that day brought Zacchaeus to a #collision with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
As it usually happens too, Pastor Jeff, people are never the same after they have a collision with Jesus.
Yeah, coming face to face with Jesus brought him face to face with himself. You know, Jesus showed him, you know, and when he saw himself, I don't think he liked what he saw. He felt he needed to change. He was wealthy.
He was very wealthy. But he's somewhat of a crook.
Yeah, he was not. Yeah, he didn't earn that the most honest way. Let's put it that way. And after #collision, colliding with Jesus, he gave up half of his possessions to the poor. And then with the other half, he gave 4 times the amount back to anybody he cheated, which...
It's probably a lot of people.
A lot of people based on his wealth at that time.
But that #collision with Jesus changed him forever.
Forever.
And what about the women at the tomb on that first Easter morning? I mean, admit it, they definitely were not going there to see a risen Jesus.
No.
They had in mind of seeing a very dead body.
Mm-hmm.
They had taken spices with them to anoint him because they didn't want him to be like Lazarus.
No.
You remember Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and what's the Bible say about him? You remember?
He stinketh.
And they didn't, so they wanted to anoint him. In fact, on the way there, they were talking about who's going to move the stone.
Mm-hmm. How are we going to get in? Yeah.
How are we going to get in there? They were not expecting to have a personal encounter with Jesus that morning. They were just talking among themselves about how this is going to be a terrible day. We can't move stone. We've got to spice him up. We got, you know.
But when they got there,
oh boy,
the stone was already moved. The tomb was what?
Empty.
Yeah. And they had a another #collision.
They did.
With an angel, with a message. Guess what? He's not here.
He's not here.
And soon thereafter, Mary had her own collision with Jesus. At the time, she thought he was just some gardener. But when he spoke her name, bam, collision.
Bam.
What a moment.
Now, Pastor Jeff, that's not something you can plan. You can't put that on the calendar that next Tuesday I'm going to get up and just have a run-in with Jesus.
Yeah, no.
Life brings you to those moments sometimes.
It does. You can seek after him, but the collision, yeah, that's...
The collision just almost gets in your way.
Almost gets in your way.
Yeah.
You know what? One of those, you know, it makes me think of examples of a hashtag collision with Jesus is Paul.
Oh,
now,
wow.
I'm not talking about our friend Paul Palumbo. He had his own.
Well, he had his own,
but that's not where I'm going this morning.
Did he have a hashtag collision?
We don't have enough time because chili's already cooking to go
that's
down
right.
that path.
So
we're talking about another Paul. And
at
it's found
the time, Saul.
At the time, Saul. Yeah, he wasn't even Paul at that time.
Yeah.
So, but that comes, you know, the story of his conversion in Acts chapter 9. What a powerful moment. What a great example. We have a man Paul, and his only goal is what? Yeah.
Kill Christians.
Wipe out Christianity. Take it out. Take out every Christian he can. That's his mission. That's his goal. He wants to end Christianity. And here he was on a road to Damascus, on a mission to arrest Christians, take them back to Jerusalem so he could take them out. That was his goal. That's where he was going. Put them in chains. That's where he was going with his people. And he was on his way. And then suddenly, a light, right? Right over him. Woo, look at that shine right there. That light, woo! 1 minute he's walking along with his companions, and the next minute there's a light, God's flashlight, on him. And what does he do? What's he do? Down on his knees, quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Yes, sir.
Quick, fast, and in a hurry. And then he hears a voice saying, you can go to Acts chapter 9 and verses 4 through 6, and you can see what the voice said. It said, he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul. Why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? Saul, well, who are you, Lord? Isn't it funny you use the word Lord there?
It
cracks me up. Who are you but your Lord? I know that.
Brought me to my knees.
Brought me to my knees. And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.
Paul just had a hashtag collision.
That is a collision. I don't know if anybody else has had a collision like that, but that is a collision. I like to call this collision hashtag sudden impact.
Oh, yeah.
Hashtag sudden impact. Christ hit him so hard and so quick, it comes out of nowhere. He gets no warning. He's just going along talking with friends. And next thing you know, bam, collision. It's the last thing that Paul expected to happen that day. I'm sure that's not what he expected to happen that day.
I don't think that was even on his radar.
Not even on his radar. This type of collision with Jesus, I can't even grasp it. I really can't. I've had some collisions in my day, but I can't even imagine. A bright light where Jesus hits you and out of nowhere, and then he pulls a thought inside you that brings you to your knees. And at that point, guess what? You have that choice to make.
Oh, yeah.
Do I accept Jesus and what he's telling me? Or do I hashtag reject Jesus and move on? Well, Paul, he got up and went. Now, not very fast because he couldn't see, but he got up and went. And this hashtag collision immediately changes Paul's life. It changes his mission. It changes his life plan. It changes everything for Saul, who becomes Paul.
That was some collision.
Now, Pastor David, do you have an example of a collision you're thinking of?
Well, I've got one similar to it, but a little different at the same time.
Yeah.
Y'all remember Peter, the fisherman swordsman.
You've been wanting to do that for a while.
I have. Can you imagine if Peter had been a Jedi and had a lightsaber?
What color would it have been?
Kentucky Wildcat Blue.
Okay.
Peter was another kind of person altogether. He was close to Jesus.
Yeah.
He was one of his best friends. At one point, he told Jesus, he'd die for you. I'd die for you. If all of these others reject you, I'll die for you. Big words.
Yeah.
In the Garden of Gethsemane, defending Jesus, he cut off a soldier's ear. And Jesus said, oh, Peter, you big dummy.
Is that the Message version?
That's DJ version.
DJ version, okay.
And then I would love to have seen Peter's look, because what Jesus did right after that, he bent down, picked up the ear, and put it back on the guy's head.
Yeah.
I'd like to have seen the soldier then.
Yeah.
But he was defending him to the death. Right after that, he was arrested. Jesus was arrested. And that put the life of Peter on a hashtag collision course with Jesus. Like he had never run into Jesus before. Let me explain that to you, what I'm thinking. He was arrested. The guards led him away. And Peter followed, you remember the phrase the Bible says? At a distance. At a distance. He tried to get lost in the crowd. I wonder how many of us know what it's like to follow Jesus at a distance and try to get lost in a crowd. Just move along as everybody else is moving. But you know what happens. In the crowd, Mr. I will die for you denied Jesus.
Yeah.
Not once, not twice, but three times. And right after his third denial, according to Luke's account, in Luke chapter 22, Pastor Jeb, just as Peter denied him that third time, Jesus turned and looked straight at Peter. And their eyes locked. And Peter realized who he really was.
Yeah.
And all those things he had said about Jesus all of a sudden meant nothing.
Nothing.
He went outside and wept bitterly. But because of that encounter, Peter's life changed forever. He went on to come back to be one of the greatest gospel preachers of all time.
The Rock.
He was never the same after that.
No.
As a result of that head-on collision, as it were, with Jesus, his life changed forever.
Powerful. You know, you're talking and it's making me think of another one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The woman caught in adultery.
Oh.
From John chapter 8, you know, as I began to study the scriptures, we've been talking about the sermon the last couple of weeks and study for today, I realized that, you know what, this wasn't just a normal, just another head-on collision with Jesus. This is, yes, it was for the woman, but it was actually a hashtag double collision.
Okay.
It was a double collision. Jesus collided not only with the woman caught in adultery, but with the men who wanted to judge her.
Well, that's true.
With the men who wanted to judge her. You see, these men brought this woman in an attempt to test or trap Jesus, right? That's why they brought him here. They wanted to catch Jesus. They wanted to trip him up. They remind Jesus of the law of Moses, which cracks me up, like Jesus
like
doesn't
know
the
law
of Moses.
Yeah.
He
had schooled them on that many times.
Many times. But they wanted to remind him of the law and that this woman caught in the act of adultery should be stoned.
Absolutely.
And you know, that was the law, you know.
I think they had stones in their hands when they came.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm sure of it. Sitting there. Oh, some of them probably just couldn't wait. Couldn't wait. Not little stones like you skip across. Yeah. Who you got out there? You got someone planned? I'm going to leave you on that. You're going to be on your own on that one. Yeah. But yes, they were ready to stone her. And it still shocks me, just the pure gall of just bringing it to Jesus and trying to trap him with the law. And they ask him, what say you, Jesus? Are we wrong? What say you, Jesus? And this is where the hashtag collision with Jesus happens. It happens. It's this moment of impact with Christ that these men have. Jesus doesn't answer them immediately. Basically, he ignores them and keeps doing what he's doing. He doesn't even want to dignify the answer, to be honest. But they keep, you know, they keep pushing and they demand an answer immediately. And they demand an answer. Want an answer now. So he stands up and he says, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone.
Whew.
Got to put that down. I got to put that down.
You're safe.
That, man, that was not the answer these men expected. And then he bends down again. And these men are bewildered at this point. And they walk away. They walk away. He writes in the sand or on the ground a little bit. And they leave Jesus and the woman alone there in the temple.
Wow.
And here's where that second collision happens. This woman, who had not planned to get caught in the act that day, I'm sure, or be brought forth to be stoned and not drugged to meet Jesus, was suddenly standing there face to face with the Son of God.
Wow.
He looks up and he stands up and looks at her and says, where did everyone go? Not even one stayed to condemn you? And she answers, and I love her answer. Because, I mean, she shows her faith right here. No Lord. Doesn't say no. Nope. Didn't give a short answer like my students like doing in youth group. Nope.
Nope.
Yep. Do you love Jesus? Yep. Why? Because.
Because.
But no. She's like, no, Lord. She showed her faith right there. She understood who was standing there with her. And then he tells her, neither do I. Go and sin no more.
How would those words sound to you?
To me, amazing. And I can't imagine in her situation. She thought she was about to die. Go and sin no more. I don't condemn you. Here's the result of this collision, this double collision. We have a couple hashtag accept Jesus and or hashtag reject Jesus moments here.
Yeah.
We have, of course, the woman who recognizes Jesus as Lord, who leaves and probably, most likely, changes after this event.
That's the impression we're left with.
But then we have the men who brought her here. And first, we have the ones that accept what Jesus says, which is pretty much all of them because they set the stone down and walk away. Okay, you got us, Jesus. They don't want to admit it, but they got us, Jesus. But then they have to choose. Am I going to follow this man or am I going to reject this man? And we know that the Pharisees continued what from this point?
Plotting to kill him.
They go forward with their plot to kill Jesus. So we know some of them chose to hashtag reject Jesus at this point. So let me ask you. I have to ask because I asked myself as I read this. Have you ever sought out Jesus like these men did? I mean, they went to Jesus. This was not a surprise collision. They went to him. Have you ever asked him for his will in your life and gotten an unexpected answer?
Wow.
I mean, seriously. Gotten an unexpected answer?
You're hearing Muhammad, aren't you?
I'm hearing Muhammad. Yeah, that was an unexpected answer. Maybe you were asking God, I want to help people. And you were thinking, okay, there's a food drive coming up, or I can give some extra money to Helping Hands or to you know, Mercy Refuge or something. You know, I can help out that way. But God said, no, there's this mission trip over here. Or, hey, you have some neighbors in need. You need to go approach them in the middle of their situation. You need to get in there and get your hands dirty, so to speak. And then you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Well, that's not quite what I had in mind, God.
Yeah.
You sure that's the answer? It makes you uncomfortable. But you have a choice to make at that point. Do I hashtag accept Jesus? Hashtag reject what Jesus is telling me. Yeah. We're right there. We can relate to those Pharisee men in this situation.
Oh, absolutely.
What about you, Pastor? Is there another one you could think of?
Can't think of one more. The woman at the well, John chapter 4. For her, it was just another typical hot afternoon. She was going to the well to fetch a pail of water. That's all she had on her mind.
Yeah.
She did that every day. And it's interesting, if you know the story well, she did not have a very good reputation in town. And while the other women came together early in the morning when it was cool, they would talk together and laugh together and ask about each other's family and just have a good time together and kind of make it a group affair to go get some water and take it back home for the day. They would shun her. So she was there in the heat of the afternoon when nobody else was around, and she'd go fetch her water. But this day when she got there, Jesus was waiting. He asked her for a drink of water. Now, the story is really complicated, but to make it simple, she's a Samaritan, he's a Jew. And right off the bat, she knew, we don't have anything to do with each other. Why are you asking me for a drink of water? And then she gets real philosophical here. She said, you don't have anything to draw water with, and that well's deep. And even if I draw up some water, you don't have anything to drink it with. Come on, that's pretty good.
Is that how you're at home? The table?
That's my chili spoon.
That's your chili spoon, okay.
I mean, you're not even supposed to talk to me as a woman. You're not supposed to talk to me as a Samaritan. You aren't even prepared to take a drink of water. And you want me to give you a drink. And she's certainly not expecting to have a head-on collision with Jesus this particular day. She's getting kind of aggravated about the whole thing if you read it well.
Mm-hmm.
Little did she know this hashtag collision with Jesus was coming. He told her everything about her life and then spoke to her about living water. That's water that flows continuously and never runs dry. And he says, you know, if you knew who was talking to you, you would ask me for this living water.
you wouldn't have to come back this way.
Yeah.
That's what she thought he said.
Yeah.
He wasn't speaking about that kind of living water. He was talking about water that leads to eternal life. Mm-hmm. Well, after he got through with her, Pastor Jeff, she went back into town and told everybody. Again, remember, this is a woman that was shunned. Mm-hmm. But she told everybody about this man out there who told her everything about her life. And it was very convincing telling because they all went out to see this man that had told her all of that. And once they had a collision with Jesus, they believed too. And it's interesting, they said, now we believe not because of what you've said, but because we've seen it for ourselves.
Yeah.
And that whole town was changed because this woman had a head-on collision with Jesus.
Wow.
I wish I could say that after every hashtag collision with Jesus in the Bible, and there are many of them.
Oh, yes, sir. We could go on.
I wish I could say that everyone went away for the better.
Yeah.
But that's not the case.
It's not the case today either.
Not the case today either.
No, I can... You know, you talk about that, and I can think of one at the top of my mind. It's the old hashtag, collision with the rich young ruler.
Oh, yeah.
Or the rich young man, whichever way you know it. And it was great. He sought after Jesus. Another situation where he went after Jesus. He ran to him, went up to him, said, "Teacher," and he knelt in front of him. He understood who he was talking to. He got that.
It's not some guy that just had some pocket change.
No, he was considered a rich... He had a treasure. He says he had tons of property, tons of stuff. Yeah. So this was no...
Man, yeah.
This was not like you and I pulling out the change from our pocket here. This was a... Well,
I probably will put that back. A lot of wealth there, buddy. You didn't think I was going to put it back, did you?
No, I didn't think you were going to put it back. I wouldn't be able to really fill the pot machine now without that money. And there's some Mountain Dew people would be upset with you.
Yes, me too.
But he has this, and he asks him, "Lord, what? Why do you call me?" God goes through the "Why do you call me good?" But then he says, to answer your question, things you must do to inherit eternal life, he gets a list out. Jesus gives him a list. You know, you must not murder. You must not steal. You must not commit adultery. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. And yes, students, you must honor your father and mother.
Y'all say that with us. Honor your father and mother.
But he gives him this list. And this rich young man just is like, "I've done all that. I've been good.
Since
I've gone to church since I was a kid.
Yeah.
I grew up around this. I know what I'm not supposed to." And I didn't. I haven't done that.
You've been a good boy.
I've been a good boy. And he probably had. And of course, Jesus, he loves this kid. He loves this young man. He knows his heart. But then he says, "Okay." And he looked him in the eye. So here's his collision point. He looked him in the eye and said, "There's one thing left. There's one thing left. Go. Sell whatever you own and give it to the poor. All your wealth will then be heavenly wealth. And come follow me."
Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could say that happened?
Yeah. But unlike Zacchaeus, he couldn't give it up. He couldn't let go. He was holding on tight, the Bible says, to a lot of things. And he was not about to let it go. Can you relate? Maybe not with money. Maybe it's something else we won't let go of.
Won't let it go.
He has a chance. He can accept or reject. And he just couldn't let go. Now, hopefully down the line, we don't know. Maybe he did. But at this moment, he could not let go of whatever that was.
And the Bible says he went away...
sorrowful.
Sorrowful. Well, you ought to be sorry.
Yeah.
He just passed up eternal life. Which is, isn't that his question when he came to Jesus?
That was why he came.
What must I do to inherit eternal life?
But he was expecting that list and then the check off and he'd be on his way.
Well, I didn't expect that.
Can you imagine the look of the disciples?
Oh, wow.
Why is he giving up eternal life? They were beginning to understand the importance of eternal life. And this guy couldn't grasp it. He couldn't grasp it.
Pastor Jaffer's another one as we close.
Yeah.
Pilate. Pilate had a unique encounter with Jesus.
Yeah.
He had a collision with Jesus that I think many of us would like to have. He had a face-to-face, one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
He got to interrogate him, whatever you want to call it. He examined him, the Bible says. And he
came to the conclusion, I find no fault in this man. Well, in his position, I've always wondered, then let him go. You're the governor.
Yeah.
Let him go.
Yeah.
But he had to play politics with it. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to make Jews mad. Certainly didn't want an uproar in his town or Caesar would get all over him.
Yeah.
So coming face to face, hearing the words from Jesus himself, examining him personally, finding no fault in this man, he could accept Jesus for who he was.
Yeah.
Or he could reject him. It's just another man causing a big disturbance in the city. Mm-hmm. And he really wrestled with that because three times he tried to persuade the Jews to let Jesus go. Three times.
Yeah.
But he still let them beat him. They still let him crucify him. He still let them put that sign over the cross. He still let them bury him and put a stone in front of it, put his seal on that stone. Mm-hmm. He still let them post the guard. And what did he do personally? He washed his hands of the whole thing. I want nothing to do with it. It's this be saying, don't blame me. This is on you. Well, I got news for you. You can't put the blame on somebody else when you hashtag reject Jesus.
Yeah.
You had that encounter with him. And you had the choice, hashtag accept him or hashtag reject him. And Pilate says, I wash my hands of the whole thing. You guys just go do whatever you want to do. I'm going to keep believing what I believe. You believe what you want to believe and we'll all be fine. Kind of like Herod. I can hear Herod saying, I don't need your God. I have my gods and my gods serve me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God wants us to serve him. Pilate just washed his hands of the whole thing as if that would make it better. You know, Pastor Jeff, when John the Baptist was the big sensation of the day,
Yeah. He
was the first prophet in Israel in over 400 years. He wore clothes that were made out of camel hair. He had excuse me.
You okay?
Big leather belt, looked like a brown furry Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And his diet, he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached out in the wilderness, not in the temple.
No.
But he was such a sensation that people went out to hear him from all over the region.
Mm-hmm.
And many were getting baptized and following John as he prepared the way for the coming of the Messiah. But one day, Jesus asked the crowds, you need to write this down, look this up. Matthew chapter 11, verses 7 through 9. He asked the crowd three times, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? But what did you go out there for? You've heard a lot about this guy and you want to see what he's like. You want to see some kooky guy preaching in weird clothes? What did you go out there to see? Why did you go out there? Did you go to hear from him the words of God? Or did you just go to see this big spectacle, this sensation, or what other people are talking about, or what the big hit mm-hmm. of the time is?
You know, that brings us to you, to us, mm-hmm. the church. Why did you come? What did you come to see today? Pastor David eat chili?
Well, you're going to see that.
It's going to be a show, huh?
It's going to be a show.
But it's Sunday. So did you come just because we're used to coming? Let's get up. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Did you come to make your wife happy or your parents happy or your husband? Why did you come to church today? What did you come to see? What did you come to expect?
Well, listen, whatever your reason for coming this morning, our prayer is somewhere along the way, you have seen yourself in one of these hashtag collisions with Jesus. And you have that collision with him leaving you with a big decision. And it brings us right back to where we started.
Where we started. Hashtag accept Jesus. Hashtag reject Jesus.
Our prayer is that you'll let this moment change your life. You'll accept it. And wherever he's wanting to turn your life around, see, that question to the crowds about what you go out to see was to make them examine themselves.
Yeah.
Really, why did we go out there? What were we looking for? What were we hoping to find? I hope you're saying, I've found Jesus.
Yeah.
And if you have, I hope you're willing to be like that woman at the well. Go back and tell everybody else so they can come see for themselves that it really is life-changing. Now, you can do that. You can accept him. You can reject him. You can wash your hands of the whole thing. But our
prayer, our hope for you is for you to hashtag accept Jesus.
And that's what our invitation time is all about.
That's what it's for.
So we hope we're going to pray here in just a second. We hope you take that time
to make your decision.
Make your decision.
Father God, this morning we thank you for just these few examples we've looked at this morning of people who had head-on collisions with you. The Bible is full of them. He had many encounters with the Pharisees. He had many encounters with other people. But I hope we can open our eyes to see the times you put us into a head-on collision with you. Times when you want to just stop us in our tracks, just bring us to our knees, to stop us in the direction we're going and say, I need to turn this life around and to accept you and your will for my life. You've made it very simple for us. We need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you promise us that gift of your Holy Spirit to guide us through this life with you, because it's not going to be easy. But we will keep having those hashtag collisions with you, and each one will bring us closer to you is our prayer. So be with us in our decisions today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.